learning this morning about Hatafas Dam Bris. Hatafas Dam Bris is a little bit challenging because there are different scenarios and a different machlokasim in the Gemara. So I'm going to try to be very, very narrow-minded in focusing on Shitas Harambam. But just as a bit of a background, you saw the Gemara, which had a machlokas, whether or not we're going to also focus on a nolad mahul, one who's born mahul. This can also be compared to a Gerish Nisgayer who had a Mila, and other circumstances. Our focus is going to be on a nolad mahul and Tafas Dam Bris as it relates to him. So the Gemara talks about there are two days whether a nolad mahul, the reason for requirement of Tafas Dam Bris, whether that's because it's a suffik or lakfusha, there might still be an arla there, or even a vade or lakfusha, there definitely is a arla there. Those are the two options that the Gemara presents to us. And the nafkamina would be whether you're machal Shabbos for it. If it's vaday arla kfusha, meaning there's vaday and arla there, though we just can't see it, so then you can be machal Shabbos. That's mamish bris milah. But if it's only a suffik arla kfusha, maybe the child has an arla, maybe the child doesn't have an arla, so then a suffik wouldn't warrant a chil Shabbos. So that's what we take away from the Gemara.
Well, couldn't it just depend on the case, I'm saying?
No, if you see an arla, then that's not arla kfusha, that's an arla. If you can't see anything, so then there's no way to know. It's completely mahul.
I'm saying not every nolad mahul would be vaday of arla kfusha. You could have a case where...
There's no way for you to know. If it's mamish mahul, so the Gemara's assumption is it's vaday arla kfusha. So in a chanami, there might be, in theory, these cases that exist, but there's no way. If it's mamish mahul, there's no way to know whether it's arla kfusha or it's born mamish without an arla at all. So unclear, but that's the Gemara. Those are two options the Gemara itself presents. Halach l'maisa, you learn the Tosos, it's a little bit tricky whether Gershon is Gair requires Tafas Dam Bris and Katan doesn't, or maybe Katan does, Ger doesn't require. So that's all Halach l'maisa. We're going to focus on Shitas Rambam. And the Shitas Rambam is fascinating because the Rambam writes in Hilchos Trumos that in Perek Zayin Halach Yid Aleph, Hanolad Mol Ochel B'Tshuma. One who's born mahul, he's allowed to eat truma. Now, the challenge with that is because there's an iser of an orel to eat truma. One who's a vadei orel may not eat truma. So how could the Rambam say no mahul can eat truma? Either he's a vadei orla kfusha, which means he's definitely asur to eat, and even if he's a safek orla kfusha, how would he be allowed to eat truma? How would that be allowed? It's a safek, an iser deraisa of an orel eating a truma. So the Rabbaz writes there in the Gemara on the Rambam that Viafa gav did tsarach lahatif menu dambris mikol makom lav arilhu. The Rambam has a third shita in this discussion where he goes against the Gemara. We'll see what the source is in just a moment, but he goes against the Gemara and says, "No, a nolim mahol is vaday lav arilhu. He doesn't have an arla at all. He requires a tafas dambris, but not because he has an arla." Because you need a Tafas Dam Bris, we'll get to in a second. But he's not an Orel at all, and since he's not an Orel, he is allowed to eat Truma. So you can have a case where there's a Chiv of a Mila without there being Arla. So this discussion becomes, what's the definition of Mila? Is the definition of Mila Hasara Sa'arla, removing the Arla? Or is a Bris to create a Kedushas Os Bris Kodesh? So it comes out from the Rambam is, the mitzvah of Hatavas Dam Bris, we're going to lump that together with Mila right now for a second. The mitzvah of Mila does not correlate at all to being an Arel. You could have a non-Arel and yet still require Hatavas Dam Bris. So from this Rambam, all we have seen that Nolan Mole isn't an Arel. We haven't yet seen the Rambam that he requires Hatavas Dam Bris. There we'll get there in a second. All we've established is that he's not an Arel at all. And that's echoed by the Mishkas. Yaakov has a nice discussion about this, and he brings a raya from a Gemara. I don't want to go involved in the Gemara Nivamos, but there is a Yushalmi. There is a Yushalmi where seemingly the Rambam gets his opinion from. Yushalmi says, this is in Shabbos Perek Yutes Halacha Beis, that says, Rav Amar Himol Yimol, Mikan Lenolad Kishum Mahul, Shetzarech Lahativ Mimenu Dambris. So it sounds from the Rambam, it's not simply the requirement of a Tafas Dam Bris because it's a suffik. It's because it's a mitzvah of a Tafas Dam Bris. There's such an inyan, even not related at all to being an Orel at all, it's because he's a mitzvah of a Tafas Dam Bris. There's a Rashi, I don't know if you saw this Rashi either, Rashi writes on, what is it, Kuf Lamedal Amin Aleph, the very bottom line. Rashi writes, Hatafas Dambris Mitzvah. That alone, even though you're not removing the Arla, drawing blood, we'll get to how that's done in just a moment, drawing blood alone, Hatafas Dambris alone, is a mitzvah bifnei atzma. So what comes out from this, interestingly, is two things. Number one is a null and mahul considered Arla Kvusha, Suffolk Arla Kvusha, or not Arla at all? That's Machlokas 1. And Machlokas 2 is, what is the nature of a Tavas Dambris? Is a Tavas Dambris there to try to remove Arla? It's a type of Mila, or it's a mitzvah bifnei atzma? We're going to see some nafkiminas of whether a Tavas Dambris is to remove Arla, or whether it's really to just a standalone mitzvah bifnei atzma. If you take a look at the Rambam, number 3, those who have it inside, Rambam writes in Hilchos Mila Per Gimel, Halacha Vav. Ger Shemal Kodem Shinis Gayer, a ger who had a bris before he converted, and now he's converting and he's a Mamish Mal. Or Katan Shinola Kishu Mahul, where a Katan was born without a Mila, without a Arla rather. Kishimatif and Mimeno Dambris, we paskin, you require Tavas Dambris, Einan Tzrichen Bracha. Now, you know, I should backtrack for a second here. Before we even discuss the question of whether or not... Let's keep going with the Rambam. So the Rambam writes, you require Tavas Dambris, and there is no bracha. You don't say a bracha here. V'chein androgynous ein mevarchin al milaso mipnei shu ein ozachar vada. He's not a zachar vada. So the Rambam provides a reason why an androgynous doesn't have a Tavas Dambris, why it doesn't require a bracha rather, because it's a suffix. But what about, does that same sveika go back on a nolan mahul? So reading the Rambam is only explaining why an androgynous doesn't have a bracha because it's a suffix. So why doesn't he say the reason why there's no bracha by a katan, because it's a suffix arla? He doesn't say that. Elamai, the katan shenolan mahul is not about a suffix at all. Even though the Kesem Mishnah writes in number 5 that the Rambam holds that there is a suffix arla kvusha here, and that's why there's no bracha, Pasha Pshat here is Rambam doesn't think a nolan mahul is a suffix. Pasha Pshat is, like we saw in Hilchos Shumos, the Rambam holds that he's not an arel at all. He's not an arel at all, so there's nothing to remove here. So why is there a Tavas Dambris then? If he's mamish an arel, he's mamish nolan mahul, why is there a Tavas Dambris? Because Rambam holds there's a mitzvah bifnei atzma of a Tavas Dambris. So if there's mitzvah bifnei atzma of a Tavas Dambris, you should require bracha. So why is there no bracha according to the Rambam? Everyone with me? Let me say this again. If you assume the reason why you need a Tavas Dambris is because of a suffolk arla, because of a suffolk, we would do a Tavas Dambris, but you wouldn't say a bracha. Suffolk bracha is laka. If you assume like the Rambam, that no, we saw from Hilchos Shumos that this nolan mahul is vaday not an arla. There is no arla, there's no suffolk arla, and that's why ki truma. So why is there a tavas dambris if there's no arla to speak of? Because a mitzvah b'fnei atzma, it's not a suffolk, it's a mamish mitzvah, tavas dambris, like the Rashi says, that hatavas dambris mitzvah. So if there's a mitzvah, tavas dambris, so shouldn't there then be a bracha? So why is there no bracha on a tavas dambris according to the Rambam? But there's no mila. The child was born mahal.
Right, that's what I'm saying. But typically, a tavas dambris is covered by the mila. So in the case where you don't have the bracha of mila, you're not going to be able to cover it.
So what's the explanation? What do you mean? Because you don't have the bracha, the nusach of bracha doesn't exist. Okay. So normally, when you have a mila, there's priya, there's matita, there's a tavas dambris, all those things, and that's covered by the bracha of ala mila. But in an instance where there's no mila, so you can't say a bracha. So why can't you create a bracha of a mitzvah, shashirke, shalom mitzvah, hatif dambris? Why not create a bracha? So if, again, the Rambam really holds it, there's a mitzvah of hatavas dambris, why is there no bracha? So Rav Chaim actually asks this question. But for the Rambam, it's not about the suffix. The Rambam says, a nolam mahul is vaday lav orlohi, that's why he's allowed to eat truma. There's not even a suffix here.
So if he's mahul, it's not an arl. What holds a man from eating truma? No, no one's eating an arl. He doesn't have a meal.
So you want to suggest, so if you look at the language of the Kesef Mishnah, he says because Safek Arla Kvusha. That's the Indian. So you're now saying the other side, that even though he's not Arla, so Safek Mal, but no. If there's no Safek Arla, you have to define what is Mila. Is Mila about removing Arla, or is Mila about creating one? So either way, it's a Vadai situation. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have an Arla, so the need for a Tavaz Damres is to create a Mila. So that's a Vadai. He Vadai needs a Mila. So if he Vadai needs a Mila, so how come there's no Bracha? So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Shechita, he's talking about a case of Kisei Dam and Koi, so I don't want to get involved in that, but he writes at the end here a very important Yisod. He says, he's talking about again the case of Koi, you can look it up, it's the only Reb Chaim in Hilchos Shechita. He says, De'ein mevarchen alav, kemen de'ein chiyuv gamor, ve'ein amitra shlema. That's talking about Kisei Dam and Koi. When a person is born mahol, or even a gershin is gayer, kishuhu mahol, de'ein mevarchen al tavas dam bris. You don't say a bracha in those cases. Why? Afagav, even though the Rambam holds that the chiyuvahu vadai, the chiva tavas dam bris is a vadai chiv and not a suffik. So if there's a chiv and a mitzvah of a tavas dam bris, why isn't the bracha? De'chol she'ein a mitzvah b'shleimus, ein mevarchen alav. So if you're not doing the mitzvah b'shleimus, there is not going to be a bracha. So since, this is I think similar to what Eli's suggesting here, since you're not doing the mila entirely, because you can't, there's no arla to speak of, so you're doing a partial mitzvah, you're doing the best you can, so therefore there would not be a bracha. That's the klal of the Rav Chaim. I'm not sure other examples, whenever there be a partial mitzvah being done, so then let's say, this is a good example, I'm not sure if you get a mitzvah really, but let's say dal minim. So dal minim, you only have an esrog. So you don't say a bracha just on the esrog. You don't say a bracha just on the lulav. You have a partial mitzvah there. So, and therefore, so too here, if you're only doing a partial mitzvah, because that's all you're able to accomplish, there would not be a bracha. But me'ikra din, there should really be a bracha, because there's a chiv and a kima tavas dam bris.
We just said the Rambam holds the mitzvah of fayatza. So I could just spend a Rambam saying, it's not a mitzvah of shayim. Rambam holds
its
own mitzvah.
Correct. No, so the idea is as follows. That is part of the Mila. You have Mila, which is removing the Arla. There's Priya, which is, that's a Priya, and there's a Tavas Dam Bris, which is standing alone as a, it's drawing blood out. So it stands alone, it's like Tefillin as well, Tefillin, Shayat, Sharosh, each one stands alone, but they still are mashlim each other. So the Tavas Dam Bris is not to remove Arla, that's what the Mila does. It's just to draw blood out. It's a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo, but it's not counted as a mitzvah shalem. So you can have parts like the Zrika, every time you have different avodas, you have a Shechita, you have Kabbalah, you have Halacha, you have Zrika, they're all in Anam Mifnei Atzmo, but they're part of a bigger picture. That's the idea.
If you're going to compare it to Dal Minim, would anyone say to take just an Esrog? If you, I mean, that's the only thing you have?
That's why I was hesitating when I said it. I was trying to remember the Halacha as it came to mind, so I don't remember. I think the answer is yes. What you can't do is you can't take a fake esrog. You can't take a lemon. That's wrong. That's going to be, the Gemara says it's going to lead to churva. But in terms of having one alone, I believe that there is an inyan, but I didn't remember. That's why I didn't say it. So I have to look it up. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, if you're doing like a regular bris mila and there was no atavas dam bris by that mila, meaning you remove the arla and for some reason there was no atavas dam bris, so you already made a bracha though, and it wasn't b'shleimus then. So again, now,
I mean, you're raising a question. Let's say there's a mila that no blood comes out.
Yes, for some reason there's no blood.
No blood came out, which would be a pella. I don't know if it ever happened, but let's say. Well, it could be that the child might have some type of clotting disorder that will prevent any blood. Is there any value, forget the bracha, is there any value of a tavas dam bris in that case? First asking that question. Should you go ahead and draw blood from the makam mila to ensure there's blood? It's a good question. I don't know. So let's say there is an inyan to draw blood. Should one say bracha in the case, the answer would be no, because you're doing it independent of the rest of the mila.
No, I'm saying even the bris itself, now you made a bracha, but the mitzvah wasn't done b'shleimus, because there was no tavas dam bris.
Ah, you're saying that mitzvah...
Once you're learning that it's an inherent part of the bris, and a mitzvah isn't done b'shleimus unless that's done, so then how are you making a bracha?
It's a great question. There's only so much you can know that will be accomplished. I say bracha and dal minim, they're all here. And I suddenly, as I'm about to say bracha, a wind comes, a storm comes, and knocks away, and I can't find it anymore. So you do the best you can. I say a bracha on a fruit and it drops and it gets dirty. Hey, Baruch Shem, Kvod Malchus, so you do the best you can. I don't think, though, Hatavas Dam Bris, if it's not there, I don't think it would, the meal would still work. I think it's an interesting question to ask a mole if this ever happened. I don't know any, we had our chance yesterday. I hear the question. Given the alumnus we're talking about, it's a good question to ask. On that note, the Gemara in Ksubas we discussed before about Sara Dianuka. The Gemara asks a question in Ksubas Daf Zayin about whether you should say a Daf Ches, maybe Shesimcha b'ma'ono at a Bris Mila. The Gemara asks this question. And the Gemara says, we don't say Shesimcha b'ma'ono by Bris Mila. Why? Because Sara Dianuka, the pain of the child. So there's a machlokes from there whether or not you say Shechayanu. I discussed this once before at a Bris or not. So part of that is how much is Sara Dianuka part and parcel of the Mila? The child is certainly in pain. The child's crying. Is that mamish, that it's part of, like, drawing blood is part of the Mila, and so too the tsar, the child has to go through pain, is part of the Mila? And therefore the whole Mila is a makum tsar, and you can't say Shechianu, or no. It's a simcha. It's an event that's happy. It happens to be, it's a pain to the child. So how essential, how critical is tsar dinuka? So too, how critical is dam, in your question, hatavas dam bris, how critical is it to the child? So this becomes very relevant. We discussed this, Moshe quoted from Shlomo Zalman, whether you could use Novocaine so the child doesn't feel any pain. So if you think Tzar Dianuka is mamish a chelak of it, so then you can't use it. But Rav Shlomo Zalman felt that wasn't the point. The point was because the minug for generations were to have it without Novocaine, so we're continuing to do that. But again, similar question to how essential is a dam to the Mila?
So yeah. Would he hold the same by a Gila for a Gadol?
In terms of?
Meaning Tsar Dianuka, meaning because a Gadol is going to be in a lot more Tsar.
Right.
He's at least able to.
Yeah.
More.
I believe, again, from.
Saying that the minog is.
Yeah, no. I believe we give them Novocaine, we put them to sleep, because that would be just cruel at that point.
Right.
So I believe that is the practice. But I think for a Tavas Dam Bris, you need to draw blood that's not as painful. I don't think we put them out. And it's just unnecessary to do so. I think there are cases where, like, children, I've heard stories, I think, from, like, Russians who came and weren't Zochet Amila, they wanted to mamish feel the pain of it. And I don't know how that works, but they're people who are mostly nefesh. Okay, but again, I'm not familiar with the adults or even older children getting milas. Okay, back into the sugya now. So this is again a potential nafkamina whether or not hatavas dam bris is a mitzvah b'fnei atzma or it's simply to fix the mila. It's a safek arla whether that would warrant a bracha or not. That would we thought an nafkamina, but even the Rambam says there's no bracha for technical reasons simply because it lacks the being a mitzvah shlema. Now, I don't want to get into the nitty-gritty because I don't really understand it about how one does a Tavas Dam Bris, where you do a Tavas Dam Bris, how much has to be drawn. In the Sefer Taras Bris, there's a long discussion how one goes about doing this. But very simply, there's a machlokas in the Rishonim between the Ur Zeruah and between the Meiri, how one does a Tavas Dam Bris. Now, the Ur Zeruah, I'd like to just always share the story once in a while. It's a good little break of the Ur Zeruah. Why name the Sefer Ur Zeruah? Those who've heard me here in the shul have heard this probably from me before. But in the beautiful Hakdama, the Ur Zeruah was written by one of the Rishonim. His name was Rav Yitzchak. I don't remember his last name. So oftentimes, as brought down in the Svarim, the Sefer Rokeach writes this, there's a minhag to write a Sefer based on your name. Sometimes the names were more apparent, other times they were not. Happens to be the Magen Avraham, is named after Reb Avraham. He did not want to name his Sefer Magen Avraham, the Perish, but it was written after he died, so there's machlokas between his children and Talmidim, what to name the Perish. So I believe the Talmidim won and named it Magen Avraham after the Mechaber, even though his wishes were not that way. It shouldn't be named after him. So sometimes the names are more explicit. Other times there's a remezim to the names of the Mechaber in the Sefer. But there's such a minhag we have from already the Rishonim. So the Ur Zeruah did not name his Sefer after his own name. Why did he name it Ur Zeruah? Because he had a suffix, how to spell the name Akiva. Ein Kuf Yud Vez, hey, or Aleph at the end. And he had not a dream, but a vision or, I don't know, something came to his mind by the Pasuk, Ur Zeruah Tzadik, Ulishelev Simcha. And it noted, he realized that the Sofei Tevos of these words, this is the Rishon writing again, the Ur Zeruah, the Rashi Tevos, he actually skipped the Or of Resh for Rebbe, but it's really Rebbe Akiva, but after Or, Zeruah Latzadik, the Sofei Tevos spell Ayin, Zeruah Latzadik Kuf, Ulishre Yud, Lev Avav, Vej rather, Simcha's Hey. See, Paskin, based on this vision, to spell the name Ayin Kuf Yud Vez Hey, and not with an Aleph. That's the Psak And based on that vision, he named his whole sefer or zeru based on this vision that he had. Happens to be, it's really Rabbi Akiva, or zeru tzaddik. That's why we say so many times in Kol Nidre night and Yom Kippur, the yahrzeit of Rabbi Akiva. And there's a lot to talk about between Rabbi Akiva and Yom Kippur, but that's why he named the sefer or zeru. Now, in the sefer or zeru, he writes in Hilchas Mila how one does the Hatavas Dambris. And he writes that one should do, he writes, Ke'ein Sarita Meirosh HaGviya, a little like a line, you cut a little bit into the Gviya, B'chatichas Mila Shechorchen Barosh HaGviya, a little cut there. Just to draw some blood. While the Me'iri says, you have to Tzarech Lemula Ma'at Ke'ein Klipa Lahativ Imenu Dambris. You have to remove some of it. So while the, or there was enough to just make a hole and draw blood, the mirror requires removing some of the actual skin. Why? What's a machlokus? The question is it tavas dam bris to draw blood out, or is it to remove the arla kvusha that might be there? So therefore the Me'iri said it's to remove arla kvusha. Now we don't know where it is or where it might be, and that's what the post can talk about, the technicalities of it. But they have to remove some skin, like to remove the arla kvusha, while the Orzuru says no. Hatavas dam bris, nothing to do with arla, it's simply to draw blood. Hatavas dam bris of drawing out blood. Okay. The Miri happens to have another case here. It doesn't seem to line up properly, but we do have other instances where there could be no arla, and there could still be a mitzvah mila without arla. But right now our case is for the Shitas HaRambam, who says there's no arla kvusha to speak of. Child Nolan Mahul has no arla, yet there's a mitzvah of Atavas Dambris. So the Miri has the same case. He said, let's say a person does a mila before sunrise. Right, we know every mitzvah bayom has to be after Nates. And if it's done after Alos, that's also a good b'dievin. But it can't be done before. It can't be done before Alos HaShachar. Let's say one did it. So the din is, the Miri writes in Megillah Daf Chaf HaMebeis that even though the person has no arla anymore, he's not an arel, he still doesn't have a mila. So you can have a case of a guy not being an arel, but at the same time, still not being mahul, which is similar to this case of a nolan mahul. This is another circumstance where you could have that case. We have a gershinis geyer who's mahul, rather who's not an arel, but isn't mahul. You have a child who's born who's not an arel, but he is not mahul either. And then you have a case of a person who got a mila, belaila, who's not an arel, but isn't mahul either. So you have this interesting time, a place, where you could have neither arel or neither mahul. Okay, so now when it comes to Tavas Dam Bris and how much of a mila it is, how much of a mitzvah fanatzma it is, there are a number of interesting nafkaminas that come out. So what do you guys think about the requirement for mitzitza? We discussed mitzitza a couple weeks ago as part of the process, how essential was it? Oh, is it only refuah? And if it's not refuah, you don't need it anymore. Or really, it's a chelek of the mila. So would you require mitzitza when performing a Tavas Dam Bris bifnei atzma? What would your thoughts be on that? So the question now becomes, I would say the opposite. Mano Shachem might need. If the refuah, the refuah is for the blood. So refuah. So is it for the mila or is it for the dam? The dam that's being extracted.
From the mila that you did.
So the way the Marid Asad writes, who was very into the Matzitza based on his various counterparts in where he lived, He says even if the matita is not part of the mila, but rather it's for sakana, you would definitely require them because it's still a sakana. Once blood is being drawn, the sakana would be relevant. That's a paskin in that regard. But I could still think, even if you assume it's not about sakana, it's the chelik of the mila, well, if hatavas dam bris is a critical part of the mila, so matita is part of that as well. It's a continuation. Meaning the way the seder is, there's mila, there's priya, there's matita. But mitzitza is part of the Tavas Dam Bris, which is a chelik of the mila. So there is room to say that you would require mitzitza as well, even if it's a standalone chelik of the mila. So there's a machlok as a poskim have whether there's a requirement of mitzitza for a Tavas Dam Bris. Now, what about when one should do a Tavas Dam Bris? When would you think? What would be the ideal day? A child is born mahal, when should you do it? Eighth day, right? Eighth day, that would be Pashup Shat. This is the Rambam writes that in... he writes in this one we have in front of us. No, he doesn't. We don't have this one, but he writes in Hilchas Mila Halacha Aleph Perak Zayin, right? Perak Aleph Halacha Zayin that Hatavas Dam Bris is done by Yom HaShemini. The 8th day. But the Shulchan Aruch writes in Hilchas Mila Reish Samach Gimel in Sif Dalid Nolad Kishuhu Mahul Tzarach Lahativ Mimenu Dam Bris Umiyu Benachas. Check it well. But by Paris, different. Don't use different things. In Mamtina Laharbi, you can wait as long as you want. There's no Indian of Yom Shemini according to the Shulchan Aruch. So seemingly, what's the machlokas then? So how much is a Tavas Dam Bris about removing Arla or to Bifnei Atmodin? If it's about removing Arla, so you should try doing it on the 8th day. But if it's simply a standalone Indian of drawing blood out, so then perhaps Yom HaShemini is only going on when there's an Orla to speak of. But when just drawing out blood, so then Shulchan Aruch would say there's no urgency to wait for the 8th day. But I still think you say the other way around. It's not mokach at all. Even if you say that the Mila, the Tavas Dam Bris, is not about Orla, it's a standalone, it's still part of the elements of the Mila. Just like Mila is done on the 8th day, and Priya is done on the 8th day, the Hatavas Dam Bris should also be on the 8th day. Who says by Yom HaShemini is only going on Mila? It's going on every aspect of the Mila. So therefore, the Rambam who holds the Shitaso, that Hatavas Dam Bris, Zechiya Bifnei Atzmo, he still requires it to be done by Yom HaShemini. And while the Shulchan Aruch thinks it's some really afterthought of the Mila, and therefore you could wait to do it. You had a question, yeah?
So, Shulchan Aruch says that if it's going to be a bit tayatzma, then you don't need to do it late day, you can even do it later. But it shouldn't be the opposite, you should try to do it as soon as possible if it's its own mitzvah. I mean, not connected to meal, so it has no shaykhus to the 8th day. It's just a regular mitzvah say that it needs to be done.
In terms of Zrizus.
Right, so yeah. Zrizus, you should do it as soon as possible.
Great question. So in light of that, that's why he says, because sakana, we don't want to lead to sakana. We don't do surgeries on children. If it's a mitzvah, so we have to do a mitzvah. Tavas Dam Bris is just an Indian, let's say. So then we wouldn't want to rush any type of sakana. Now, that's really, I only showed you one Shulchan Aruch. There is another Shulchan Aruch who says clearly in Reish Samech Vav that there is an Indian to do it on the 8th day. One second. This is Reish Samech Vav. Again, the wrong Sif here. Sif Yud. Katan Shanola Kishumahu and other examples. Afa Pishi Nimolum Liches Einam Dochen Shabbos. There we go. So we know that Hatavas Dam Bris isn't Docha Shabbos. So he writes, even though we do it on the 8th day, if that 8th day falls out on Shabbos, then we don't Docha Shabbos. So the clear implication is you do it on the 8th day. So Shachari points out the stira within the Shulchan Aruch, and he really says that really Shulchan Aruch says the 8th day is ideal. And he's talking about a case, if there's a certain takana, so then don't stress yourself, then you could push it. But even the Shulchan Aruch agrees the 8th day is the ideal day to perform Hatavas Dam Bris. Now, what about performing Hatavas Dam Bris Balayla? Is that permitted or not permitted? So the same thing, the same question, how modeled after real Mila is Hatavas Dam Bris? So the Tosefta writes in Hilchos Shabbos, in Masechet Shabbos, that Misha Nolan Mahul Ein Malanoso El Bayom, meaning, even though the guy's already Mahul, the Tavas Dam Bris has to take place by Yom, and that's what the Gemara says as well in Yevamos. But the Marshal and the Yamshel Shlomo says, you're allowed to do it. If you do it Balayla, you're Yotze. Even though Mila Balayla, you're not Yotze B'dievid, a Tavas Dam Bris Balayla, one would be Yotze. Just the last two questions that relate to this. Let's say there's a day, in Shul, they do a Tavas Dam Bris. They do a... Not Bris Mila, the child was born Mahul, so everyone's invited to the Tavas Dam Bris of their new child. So would you not say Tachanun in such a shul? So Mila, we know there's no Tachanun. But what about a Tavas Dam Bris? Is that enough of a reason? So there's a discussion they have, and they quote the Halachas Katanos writes that you would not say Tachanun in such a... So either because there's a certain kul of Tachanun, we're very makel, or because a Tavas Dam Bris is a chalik of the Mila, however you want to say it. And then finally, they discuss whether or not it warrants a suda. whether it warrants a suit or not, the same question, how much of Tamas Dambris is Mamish Shemila, or it's a mitzvah b'vin atzmo, or is it simply a suffix arla, and perhaps wouldn't warrant a suit. So these are interesting discussions that that happened, that relate to this particular topic. Okay, so we'll stop here. And then Mirtz Hashem, Monday, we're going to do the next sugya in the Bam of Kuf Lamed Hei about the Indian of Nitna Torah v'Nischat Shehalacha, about things changing from pre-Matan Torah to afterwards.